This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we lift our voice in prayer with all the people of the world. Surround Haiti and her people with your loving embrace, that they may be supported by the world in the work of rescue and recovery, comforted as they grieve, strengthened as they bury their dead, healed as they tend their wounds, restored in faith and the hope of things unseen, and transformed through newness of life. Make us instruments of divine charity, of mercy, of hope, and of new possibility. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, the will to act, and a discerning and generous heart, that we may serve you and those who suffer in whatever way we are able, in and through the power of your holy name, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We need heroes in our lives. Heroes, the people who live their lives in such a way for the sake of others that by the sheer example of their virtue, it calls us to become more ourselves. It calls us to re-examine our own lives when we look at the example that they have set before us. The problem we have is that oftentimes we take celebrities and we forget that celebrities are not necessarily heroes. And we put our faith and our trust in celebrities, and as we have seen too often, when they have a moral failure or they cheat, or we find out that if they're an athlete, they were on performance-enhancing drugs of some sort, suddenly they are taken down off that pedestal and we are disappointed. But only because we have put them up on a pedestal of hero when really all they are is a celebrity. But we need heroes in our lives. When I was in my secular career, I worked with a lady by the name of Susie Holding. And after working with Susie, I ended up working very closely with her husband, whose name was Bruce. And when I left that particular career and ended up in the Episcopal Church as a priest, I had a tangential relationship with Bruce and Susie, knowing what was going on in their lives, and discovered that Susie had a deep spiritual life as well, and before you know it, she has entered seminary and becomes an Episcopal priest based in Chicago, Illinois. So there is Susie. I hadn't heard from her in a while, and suddenly got a long letter from her 2 years ago, almost to the date, telling me that they had come down to South Florida to visit with Bruce's parents, who worshiped at St. Mary's in Stuart, the Episcopal Church there. They got off the airplane in West Palm Beach. Bruce said, "I don't feel very well. I need to sit down." He sat down in the lounge there in the airport, and a minute later, he was dead of a heart attack at the age of 51, 2 years ago. I was following the Episcopal News Service accounts of what was taking place in Haiti. And they happened to mention that there was a group of college missionaries under the auspices of the Episcopal Church who were missing. And they named these college students, and I noticed that one's name was Mallory Holding. Susie Holding. Mallory Holding. It mentioned she was from Chicago. I thought there must be a connection. So I did some research, and sure enough, I found that this young Episcopal priest who had just lost her husband 2 years ago now had a daughter who had recently graduated from college, decided to do something special with her life for others, and she was missing in Haiti. I started to follow on Facebook, as many of us did with our different friends and relatives in this regard, and was amazed at the calm and the confidence with which Susie approached this, having lost her husband just 2 years ago, and now her daughter, not knowing if she was alive or dead, but with extreme calm and confidence as she approached what news would come. Well, the good news is, they did find Mallory alive, and you might have seen the account that was on the TV of those college students or graduates whose apartment building had not collapsed, but they had taken refuge behind the apartment because they were afraid it would collapse and had spent the night outside. And she was brought back home safe and sound. Praise God. But what amazed me even more is when Mallory was interviewed, she didn't want to talk about herself. She wanted to talk about the people of Haiti. We need heroes in our lives. And most of the time, these heroes are reluctant heroes. They are people who have gone beyond themselves, who have sacrificed their own lives for the sake of something greater. Not because they want to be famous, not because they want the acclaim, but because they want to serve. They want to serve their God. This is what Mallory was doing, and this is what countless other people have been doing. We have a reluctant hero in the gospel today. Jesus. Jesus who says, "My hour has not yet come." Jesus who, were it not for his mother, probably would have not taken any action. But yet, for the sake of his mother, he does. And so we have this wonderful story in the second chapter of John's Gospel that should make us all want to be Christian. After all, become a Christian and the wine will never run out. 6 stone jars holding 20 to 30 gallons each. Do the math. That's up to 180 gallons. That's a lot of wine. Now, this wine, physically and metaphorically and symbolically representing the old Jewish rites of purification, that you would wash your hands in a symbolic way so that you would be clean, so that you would be acceptable. Now, Jesus uses that and brings it new meaning, as if to tell us, do you want the abundance of what God can do for you with joy, as that wine would symbolize? Then listen to the words of Jesus' mother. Do whatever he tells you. This is our reluctant hero. In the past week, and in the weeks and months, and I would venture to say years ahead, we are going to continue to hear stories of reluctant heroes. Those people who have chosen for years to work with the poorest of the poor in Haiti, not because they wanted a celebrity status, but because they wanted to help those in need. Mallory was just one. There are thousands, thousands and thousands. And we need not to miss this opportunity of celebrating and learning from these people who are the unreluctant heroes. I don't get angry very often, but I was ready to throw a shoe at the TV when I heard certain people talking about the fact that God was punishing the people of Haiti for what they had done and their ancestors had done. My friends, God does not work that way. We need to proclaim from every pulpit, every church, every synagogue, that that is wrong. And that is evil to even suggest that, because our God does not punish people. Our God is a God of healing and comfort. And that is what we need to take away from this, not only with the opportunity and the example that these unreluctant heroes give us, but let them do what true heroes do, is call us and cause us to reflect upon our own lives and see where God might be calling us to rearrange things just a little bit and get our priorities in order. Not many of us are going to be called to give our lives physically, as many have done. But we are all called to look at my little life and see where God might be calling me to listen to what Jesus is telling me a little bit more in the way I relate to my family, in the way I relate to my community, in the way I live my life. Don't miss this opportunity. I remember when my father passed away unexpectedly many years ago, of going to the wake with my brothers and sisters, and all of these people we had never met before showed up and were telling us all these stories of what Dad had done for people throughout his life, unbeknownst to all of us. It was amazing. And for me, it was like a little glimpse into heaven, where all things will be made known, and we are going to receive that glory of knowing all these incredible heroes and heroic things that have been done. I think this is the glimpse into heaven God is giving us right now. This is a natural disaster. God did not cause this. It happened. And God wants to come and to comfort and wants us to be the instruments of his healing and comfort and support, and especially to let it be a cause of us to reflect upon the ways in which we might be called to be better people. You know, centuries ago, Saint Augustine reflected on this particular story in the Bible. And in writing about this story, he says, I don't understand why it is so hard for people to believe in a God who can do miracles like this. After all, water gets turned into wine every year. He says, because there is grapes that are growing on the vine, you add water to it, and eventually those grapes grow on the vine, and eventually they become wine. The water becomes wine. He says, Jesus just speeded up the process. Well, maybe the miracle that can come out of this is what many of the scripture scholars think is the true miracle in this story. It's the last phrase, and the disciples believed in him. Maybe the miracle for us that can come out of this experience is that we might speed up the process of our own becoming those unreluctant heroes in whatever way God is calling us to do that. If only we are willing to take the advice of his mother to do whatever he tells you. May we speed up that process as we celebrate the unreluctant heroes and answer God's call to become that ourselves. We take that to our prayer.